Alex this morning. Today we're going to walk through our passage a bit at a time. So I'm going to start with the first couple of verses of this morning and then we'll go on to pray. Only 35-36. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and illness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. That's better.
Sorry.
That's better to start on. It's fine. That works. Lord, as we come to you this morning, some of us are rejoicing at your good news. But others of us are afflicted by disease or sickness or feeling harassed and helpless. Lord, I pray that in our time together this morning, you would meet us where we are, bringing us comfort, wholeness, peace, and blessing. May we know your presence here with us and hear your voice. In Jesus' name. Amen. Mm-hmm. Let's sing our first hymn this morning. Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. And during this hymn, we'll take up this morning's offering. If you haven't come prepared for the offering this morning, please, that's fine. Just feel free to let the bag love you by. rainbow offering in a moment. But we'll also have our prayer time. I've got a couple of prayer requests here. Is there anything else that we need to pray for that we don't already know about? Lord, we thank you for the gifts that you give to us. And we pray for this offering that you would bless it and use it for your work in this place. And Lord, we pray for those of our number who are struggling at the moment, for those within the church and those known to us. Father, we lift to you Shelley and Julie, Mike and Barbara, Janice, Hazel, Matthew, Lee, Sophie, Faith, Sylvia and Steve. Lord, you know each of those situations, you know what's going on. And we just pray that you would touch each one, bringing your healing, bringing your comfort, bringing your love. We pray for those we know who have cancer and through treatment at the moment. We pray for Bill, for Paul, Rod and Rachel. And there may be others who are in our minds as well. Lord, we lift them to you. We pray for their treatment. We pray for your love and your peace to be upon them. And we pray for Roy's family and for Tony's family following the loss of his sister Sharon. Lord, would you be with each one? Would you hold them? Would you comfort them? May they know your love surrounding them. Lord, we read earlier that people brought to you those who were sick and in need. And we do that now. We bring to you those we have mentioned and those on our hearts who are worn down by the troubles of the world, harassed and helpless, knowing that you will have compassion on them. There are so many places in the world, including in our own lives, where people seem to be like sheep without a shepherd. Aimless, rebellious, ineffective, self-destructive. Would you be our shepherd? The shepherd of the world, leading and guiding, loving and protecting. Would you watch over your people in those places where they're under attack? Defend them and keep them. Would you turn your face against those who are enemies of what is right? Even as you love them and long for them, would you take away their ability to cause suffering to others? Would you bring peace and healing and restoration? In Jesus' name. Amen. Shall we say the Lord's Prayer together? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Amen. Jesus saw those suffering, those in difficulty around him, those sheep without a shepherd, and he had compassion on them. And that's why, in spite of the things that are going on in the world, the things that might be going on in our lives, we can proclaim that God is good. So we're going to sing a couple of choruses now about the goodness of God. We really need some instruments. Where did the instruments all go during COVID?
At the back, this box.
Adults can have some instruments if they want it. The children are miserable.
We're not miserable.
Okay, let's see. We can make some words about now.
Thank you.
Now I can read that verse that I accidentally read earlier. Matthew 9:37-38. And he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest." Picture a harvest. It's the wrong time of year, really, isn't it? What does it bring to mind? Rapeseed harvest. Rapeseed is good. Okay. Fields of yellow flowers.
Sheaves
of corn. We don't tend to think of corn, don't we, when we think of harvest? Harvest, and they're mixed harvest in some places. There's different harvests at different times, aren't there?
I like to remember the flower
horses. The horses. Don't get that thing. There's a harvest here in the church. Children?
What?
This is your cue. There's a harvest here in the church.
Oh,
okay. I'd like you to go and do some harvesting. It's a harvest of fruit. Well, fruit-flavoured sweets. And I'm asking you to go and gather it here. I've got some baskets if you would like to take a basket. You had some fat things with Easter eggs. If anyone else wants to join in harvesting, you're welcome to help. If anyone wants to, then you might want to point some out to the children. They might want to.
That's the thing.
You might want to pick some up yourself and eat them, that's fine. You just threw one on the floor, you lost the bit. How are we doing? Are we harvesting loads? They did find some of them before. I don't think they found all of them. Put one out there. I did put one out there. No, you didn't get my denim space at one. Well done. It's finding the ones that I've put up high. How about you ask someone who's a bit taller, Katie?
No, I've got one up there.
Yes, sir.
Oh, I've got the one up green here. I'm right
here. There's a harvest there.
It's not the worst.
We're not going to count them up.
Yes, we are.
Are you? Oh. I was going to say you've probably Mike's got the list, one. But I've got none. So. I'm more than amazing. You can eat them if you want to eat them. Other kids don't eat all of them because you'll make yourself sick. It's not always easy to find the harvest. Takes a bit of work. In the midst of this mass of harassed, helpless humanity, Jesus saw a harvest. He saw crowds not just of people who needed him, but people he wanted to make his own. And he said to his disciples to ask God to send out workers into the harvest field. Imagine that was proper fruit that I'd let it lay around the church. What would happen to it if we hadn't harvested it? Go rotten, eaten by things that we don't want? Yeah. Go mouldy, be wasted. And Jesus looks around at these people needing to hear his word, needing to receive his love, and says, it's been wasted. Someone needs to go and tell them and bring them in. We spoke last week about the need to tell others about the good things God has done for us. The week before that was Easter and the celebration of that greatest thing of all when Christ died on the cross to give us life. So as we sing our next song, we remember that commission to go and tell of his love. Sing, go tell it on the mountain. Presumably the disciples did as they were asked and prayed to God to send workers into the harvest field. But the answer might have surprised them. I'm going to read from Matthew 10, verses 1 to 8. Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and illness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew. James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. Philip and Bartholomew. Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector. James, son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus. Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal those who are ill, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. How often do we pray for someone to do something and find the answer is you? Lord God, would you help this person? You go and help this person. Lord God, would you feed the hungry? You go and donate to the food bank. Lord God, would you make your name known in my community? You go and make my name known. The harvest was waiting. The workers were sent out. They were sent out to Israel, not the surrounding areas. Now, I don't think this was because Jesus was racist. It was because he knew where the harvest was that he was waiting for. He cared about the Gentiles and the Samaritans, but it wasn't time just yet. If I say to you today that I'm planning to pick potatoes rather than apples this weekend, you won't automatically think that's because I don't like apples. You realise that the apple harvest doesn't come on the 1st of May. So the disciples were sent where the harvest was. They were given authority to do the things that Jesus did. They were given a message to preach, the kingdom of heaven. They were given a task to do, to demonstrate that kingdom in the world. In this case, through miracles of healing and deliverance. The point was that, as we know, the ultimate kingdom of God is somewhere where there's no sin, no sickness, no death or mourning or crying or pain, says Revelation. But they were to demonstrate that on earth. Not many of us today have been given that gift of healing or raising the dead, but part of our call as followers of Christ is to demonstrate the kingdom, not just in our words, as we said last week, but in practical ways, as we work to make our earthly world more like God's ultimate design. What sort of things can we do that can make the world more like the place God wants it to be? Tools with a mission. Do you want to come and tell us about tools with a mission? I thought as I got to that, I thought, I didn't do family news.
Good morning, everybody. It's appropriate. We're talking about harvest. Harvest. We want to harvest tools. Now, I know that I've not done much over the last few years for obvious reasons, but I've had a letter from Twan, and there's a newsletter which I'm going to leave on the table. But anybody wants to read it, you're welcome. But really, what it's all saying is that Twan, in the official sense, is 18 years old this year. Now, we've been involved in it in 14 years, which is quite a good achievement, really, for us. People have subscribed by bringing unwanted tools. Don't throw them in the landfill. Please let us know about it. I can't do much nowadays in the way of refurbishment. But what I can do is get my son to drop stuff into one of the centres in Ipswich. So if you've got an old laptop that you don't know what to do with it. If you've got a sewing machine, let me have it. I'm going to give Jones away this week coming, which is a bit of a wrench, really, but we need these things. It's appropriate we're talking about harvest, really, because we want to harvest anything that you feel is useful. I don't want rubbish, but if it can be reused, please let us know. And we can arrange a collection, or you can bring it here and ask. Come and talk to me if you wish. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Fred. Well, it seems like a natural break. Does anyone have any family news? Because I forgot to put family news. Good. When you type up my order of service, if you notice I've forgotten something, like, Helen, you haven't got family news in here.
Tea and chat will be closed this Tuesday because I've got a family funeral to go to and it's in the morning. So, okay.
Thanks, Linda. I will pray for your family coming up to the funeral. Like, any more? There won't be any Girls Brigade on Monday, but it's bank holiday. Bible study Wednesday, Bible study Thursday, prayer meeting Friday. I remember. Oh, yeah.
My mom's first memorial service is on June 18th this year, so I couldn't able to go last year, so I'm just going for the memorial meeting. So I have booked my tickets. I'm going for the June for a week. Just kindly do pray for my travel mercies and God's guidance, yeah, over the meeting.
Any more for anyone? Sorry. Any more thoughts on what we can do to make the world more like the place God wants it to be? Because the more it's like God's design, the more it shows of Him and His love. I'll swap my microphones then and I'll give you my thoughts because I've had longer to think about it. I find these things that you would expect you to come up with answers in like a second. I've had a few thoughts. Pray. Yeah? Prayer is good. Prayer is always good. Join our prayer meeting. 7:30 Friday night. On Zoom. And yeah, 8:45 on Sunday mornings before we come. Prayer changes. When a nurse or a doctor works to bring healing in someone's life, they're showing the kingdom of heaven. When we feed the hungry, the world becomes more like God's kingdom where no one goes hungry. When we comfort those who mourn, we remind them that there's no mourning in that future. When we confront evil, we demonstrate a world in which evil has no power. That's why the disciples could say the kingdom of heaven is near. We know the kingdom is now and not yet, but it is now. It is near because Jesus came. Jesus died and Jesus has sent us out to be that kingdom in the world. So we're going to sing again. And it's a song we don't know very well. I think we might have had it once or twice. Do you want to play it through once, Mike?
No, okay.
Right. We'll hear the call of the King.
Thank you.
I need some children back.
It's okay.
Can I have some hamlock here, please? I know you've already had the sweets and you're not interested in coming up with that, but you know. Chloe, you'll help me, won't you? I'll give up on these, the rest of them. The theme of this bit is the Scouts motto. Who knows what the Scouts motto is?
Be prepared.
So I'm going to go out on a long journey doing God's work. Walking mostly. So what do you think I might need? If you go behind here, people can shout it out and we'll see if I've got it.
Good shoes. Walking shoes.
Right, I've got a bag, so we'll pack my bag. Walking shoes. Are there any shoes in the bag? Are there any shoes back there?
Very soft feet.
Plasters, they're off plasters. I've got shoes. Are there any plasters in there? Walter's been shouted at. So my plasters for the blisters because my shoes are not
that. Are you staying overnight?
Walter, yeah. I'm staying overnight. Sleeping bag. Oh, I need someone who's good at packing. Natalie! That was not the most sensible. But are you going to pack for me, Billy? Sleeping bag fits in the bottom bit. It does, I tried it last night. Right, any more?
Coat.
Pair of socks, at least a pair of socks. Yep, here's a pair of socks.
Waterproof jacket.
I'm glad I was quite prepared. Go on, waterproof jacket. That can go on the side because you have to be able to get to it, don't you?
A tent.
I couldn't find the tent that fit in the bag, I'm afraid. A compass, I didn't think of that. Okay, any more?
A guidebook.
Go on, let's have that.
It's a map of life.
It's a map for life, and actually, given that they're preaching, it's probably a good time for a good thing to take a Bible with them, really. You will go in.
I'm not going to get you a nice snacks.
Snacks? Have we got food? The lunchbox. Squashing anymore? Anything else? Anything else that I've thought of? But other people.
A hat.
Yeah. Any more? A toothbrush. My wash bag.
Teddy bear.
I didn't think of taking a teddy bear.
A torch. Has money been mentioned?
Has what been mentioned?
Money.
Money. Anyone? What else have we got? Suntan cream, in case it's sunny. A walking stick.
Oh, yeah.
That won't fit in the bag. A carry mat, that straps onto the top. Anything else? Some clothes. Did I say clothes? A towel. Yeah, that's clothes. That symbolises clothes. Yes. A I had a good time last night remembering how to pack a rucksack, because it's been many years since I've had to pack a rucksack like this. Right. Anything else? No? Okay, we've packed it. If I was going to do this journey, I'd want to have all that sorted, wouldn't I? I'd want to be prepared. Tonight I'm going to take this off because I'm not going to do it to know that there would be enough food for me to have for dinner at the end of the day, a change of clothes, raincoat in case it got wet, you girls can come down. Sun hat in case it got too hot. Spare pair of shoes, I'm doing a lot of walking. First aid kit for those blisters and money. Plenty of money to get a hotel or if I run out of food.
How much money
is that? Yeah. I'm trying to think back to Bible days, they probably did that though. I don't want these people to think I'm begging for things. Well, I wouldn't want them to think that God doesn't provide for them. But what does Jesus say? Matthew 10, verses 9 to 20. Do not get any gold or silver or copper to take with you in your belts. No bag for the journey, or extra shirt, or sandals, or a staff. For the worker is worth his keep. Whatever town or village you enter, search there for some worthy person and stay at their house until you leave. As you enter the home, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on you. If it's not, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, leave that home or town and shake the dust off your feet. Truly, I tell you, it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Be on your guard. You'll be handed over to the local councils and be flogged in the synagogues. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Today, I'm not going to go too much into the difficulties the disciples would face as they tried to follow Jesus' instructions. But what I want us to focus on is their dependency. I've said it before and I need to say it again for myself as much as for anyone else. The Bible does not prize independence. The world does very much. And we do, don't we? But the Bible doesn't. The disciples are not told to make sure they go out fully stocked so they don't need to ask anything from anyone. They're not told to make sure they pay well for their accommodation. They're not told to prepare their defence in case they're arrested. In fact, they're told, don't do all these things. So we don't need the stick, or the hat, or the clothes, or my lobster, or my money, or my food, or my shoes. When they go out, they're going out in God's name, doing God's work, and trusting God to provide for it. The chances are God isn't going to provide for them miraculously. They aren't going to receive manna from heaven to eat like the Israelites in the desert. They aren't going to find that their shoes never wear out or they never get tired. They aren't going to sit down and suddenly a house grows up around them. God will give them wisdom and guidance through his Spirit, but mostly God is going to provide for them through other people. I wonder if they might feel a bit awkward about that. I know I would. turning up at some stranger's door and expecting to be welcomed and fed. Their culture had a much better grasp and expectation of hospitality than we do, but still, what if these people were quite poor? What if I was taking away from them some of the little food they had? What if it was inconvenient? What if I had enough on their plate and I suddenly turn up asking for them to give me something when I could easily have provided for myself? I struggle with this because this passage fights against all my instincts. My instincts tell me I should be self-sufficient. My head tells me that God has given me all I need. My care for others tells me that they have their own things to deal with without having mine as well. And above all, my pride tells me that I can do this without them. And this is what Jesus wants to deny. He denies our pride that says, I don't need you, I can look after myself. He forces his disciples to be not just dependent upon God, but to be dependent on God working through other people. They're not to try to do it on their own. Now tell you something. I'm having a bit of a hard time. Easter in particular was difficult. I'm back at college now with all the pressures that puts on, as well as being here and being a single parent and trying to keep on top of things at home. And yet I still say to myself, I have to do this by myself. I still don't want to bother anyone else. I still don't want to confess to other people that I can't do everything, that I do have limitations. Because my pride wants me to be the one who can handle it on her own. So I'm going to bite the bullet here and say I can't. And neither can you. We can't be everything God calls us to be and do everything God calls us to do on our own. We were never made to be independent. We were made to be interdependent, to rely on each other and on God working through one another. Yes, he gives us great strength and capability, but he gives us the gift of other people to nourish us, provide for us, and support us. The call to proclaim the kingdom of God is a hard call, but the disciples here are specifically commanded not to do it alone, not to rely on their own resources, but to trust that God will send people to help them in the areas they need help with. They're not just receiving, they bring the news of the kingdom, they bring blessing and peace, healing, cleansing, but they come in relationship, in equality. Not as the ones who have it all and give it all. Not as the ones who have nothing and take everything. But as the ones who offer one thing and receive something back. They're working together with the people to whom they're sent. As members of the body of Christ, we work together to reap the harvest. To preach the message, to demonstrate the kingdom. It's easy to think that that's someone else's job. But none of us can do it on our own. It's only when each person willingly takes their place in the body that the body can function most effectively. It's only when the disciples are welcomed and heard and supported that they can bring blessing to those who are hosting them. And likewise, it's only when those to whom they're sent are willing to come and ask them for help that they're able to do their work of healing and cleansing.
Yes. Yes.
So instead of trying to do it on our own, let's help one another, care for one another, and pray for one another. Let's pray together. Lord God, I want to thank you for your love and compassion that sends us out to the lost, the broken, the sick, the sinners, the world that needs to know you and your kingdom. Would you enable us and encourage us in that mission, that we might bring this world just that little bit closer to what you want it to be? And as we do so, Lord, would you help us to help each other? Give us people in our lives to support us where we are weak and enable us to support them. Forgive us for the pride that says we can do this on our own. and grant us the humility to accept that we need you and we need each other. And through your Spirit, would you guide us, Lord, into the places where the harvest awaits? Would you grant us wisdom and the words to say when we're asked to speak of you? Teach us when and how to declare your kingdom on earth. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing our final hymn together. Brother, sister, let me serve.
Christ,
the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit,
be with us all,
evermore.
Amen.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.